Most people don't realize this was Billy Gibbons. This is ZZ Top from like the early 70s, pre-Eliminator, pre-Beards, back when they were just a Texas rock and blues band. There you go, drinking whiskey. Thank you very much, Billy. All right, 22 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. Let's send it out right now to our main man, Jay Jaffe, who joins us every week at this time to talk baseball and beer. Jay, part of that great team from Fangraphs.com and our longest-running weekly segment. How about that? How about the fact that you are our longest-running weekly segment? I love that.
I'm honored.
Well, I'm honored.
That's cool.
Hey, I'm honored that you've been doing this so many years. That's the best part, man. Thank you for being so generous with your time and giving us this slot since we first started back in your baseball prospectus days. It's great having you. And by the way, you tell me. I thought that the WBC ended with a bang. It gave you the matchup we've always wanted to see. And quite frankly, this thing lived up to all the hype, didn't it?
Yeah. A++++ would watch again. What a fantastic tournament. What a great, great way to promote baseball. Yes, you know, we can lament, stuff like, the Diaz injury. But on the whole, I mean, just there's so much fun throughout the tournament from the big dogs and from some of the underdogs. Phenomenal battles in the elimination rounds. I mean, I thought Saturday's U.S. win was fantastic. Monday night, last night. I mean, like three of those last four games were just instant classics. Like burn those to DVD so we can keep them on file. And we got the once in a lifetime matchup that you couldn't have scripted any better to produce. I mean, if you wanted to. You'd start from that point. If you wanted to write a script, you'd start from that point and you would work your way backwards. Like, how do we get Shohei Ohtani pitching to Mike Trout with the WBC championship on the line? And just the way it all came into place, with a one-run lead and with a tremendous confrontation, you know, power against power and Shohei blowing two 100-mile-an-hour fastballs by his teammate, then breaking off a slider that literally broke the new pitch quality model, one of the new pitch quality models that's come into vogue. Phenomenal Hollywood stuff.
I'm so
happy I got to see that. I'm so happy we got to share that with the world.
Let me say this too. All right, first off, let's start with the Diaz injury. This could happen at spring training. This could happen getting out of the shower. I mean, guys get hurt all the time. They do. That's just a reality. And I've seen celebrations during the regular season and postseason when guys start jumping up and down and they land wrong and they hurt themselves. Now, is it a shame that it obviously is affecting the Mets the way it is? Yes. I'm a Mets fan. I don't want to see it, but injuries are part of the game, Jay. And it was from a celebration. But to try and criticize the WBC for a fluke thing that just happened is, to me, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and, you know, let's face it, Diaz is insured. The Mets are going to get his salary back. Mm-hmm. They'll have to pay the luxury tax on the amount that it contributes to it, but they're not going to be out any money. You know, they can repurpose that $18 million or whatever his annual salary is, to go out and get another pitcher. They've got their work cut out for them. I took a look at their, you know, at their options internally and externally over at Fangraphs last week, but it wasn't even like he was jumping up and down, you know, like raucously. It seemed like he just, you know, mild celebration. I mean, they were happy, but yeah, it could have happened anywhere, and it wasn't like it happened because he had blown out his arm or something like that. Real unlucky stuff, and thankfully, we saw a lot more. Of the scary moments turned out to be pretty minor in retrospect, and you know, like Freddie Freeman, you know, pulling up lame with a hamstring and mm-hmm. he's already back, things like that, and Kyle Tucker's ankle sprain, he's just day to day. So, you know, not going to have any impact, I don't think, going forward.
No, that's a good point. Jay Jaffe with us here on Sports Talk as we continue. I'll tell you this much, too. I saw on social media the criticism of the WBC from people that say that, you know, it's a waste, nobody cares. If you talk to players, and that was the most impressive thing to me, Jay, the amount of pride that everybody who took part in this game had in playing for their respective nation and their respective countries, that spoke volumes. And I'll tell you what else did. The crowds. They don't draw anybody from Marlins games. They sold out these games in Miami because everybody wanted to watch these games. This was legitimate stuff. And like you said, it was a great way to showcase the sport around the world.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself in retrospect that I didn't try to figure out a way to get to some of these games. I went in 2006 to San Juan in Puerto Rico and got to see a Dominican Republic Puerto Rico game and a Cuba Dominican Republic game, and those are still some of the highlights of my life as a fan. I wish that I'd gotten it together and thought about either covering it or, you know, pushing to cover it or at least taking a little vacation here. It even kind of lined up with my daughter's spring break here for the finals. So, so great. And you're right, you know, about what the players said, almost to a man. Those players were jazzed to be there, and you know, there were more that wanted to come, but couldn't solve the, you know, the insurance situations. And you're not going to get every single star. There are guys coming back from injuries. There are guys in contract situations. There are guys battling for jobs, you know, or who have to show, you know, that they're, you know, committed to their teams. It's never going to be perfect, but you know, you can't fit 300 players on a team. You have to choose, you know, 25 to 30 of them to go forward. So, there are enough players, and you'd like to see better pitching, but when you're going with the you know, these big bullpens for single elimination games, it doesn't matter if you've got Clayton Kershaw in there or David Bednar. You know, if you've got a guy who can throw one great inning and string a few of those guys together, you know, you're coming out ahead. So I just think that the curmudgeons were being curmudgeons for the sake of their own attention. There are a few big, you know, big voices that kind of embarrass themselves, and we don't need to name names here. But I think by the end of it, most people who had been on the fence were at least won over, and I think that's what really matters.
Bottom of the hour as we keep things moving with Jay. More in a moment, but first, let's get right back to Adrian standing by with this SportsCenter update. Thank you very much. We're back with Jay Jaffe right now. And, you know, Jay, Adrian, and I were having fun talking about these last few days of the WBC. I thought the Japan-Mexico game was one of the best games I've watched all tournament long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's so many great ones. But, yes, that was another one there. So much drama, so much back and forth. I mean, the walk-off hit at the end there. Just so exciting to see, you know, I love when, you know, Otani got in the box there, mm-hmm. and just ripped that double to start things off. It was just, you know, classic instant rally right there.
I'll tell you something else. Because this particular year had so much drama and so many great moments, I wouldn't be surprised that in 3 years when they do this again, if more of the top pitchers in baseball, especially the Americans, want to play and want to go out there and put on that USA jersey, because they probably watched a lot of it and were kicking themselves afterwards that they weren't a part of this.
Yeah, I think there's probably, you know, Mike Trout said last time that there was, you know, that he regretted not participating, and same with Clayton Kershaw, and only, you know, only Trout was able to figure it out. I know that Rob Manfred, you know, feels like they need to get more pitchers involved. I imagine they'll probably kick around some ideas for how to do that. It may, you know, it may involve spacing things out a little bit and making sure these guys get their working. Because I know that there was some concern, you know, regarding certain pitchers not getting enough work in, like Yu Darvish was one of them. I was surprised actually that he didn't start yesterday, for Japan, because he was lined up. But it's a. I think back to Billy Beane and Moneyball talking about, you know, the baseball is a game of attrition, and what's being attrited is pitchers' arms. And, you know, that's always, you know, the rate limiter. You can only push pitchers so far, especially at this point in the season. But, you know, even when you think about when else could this be played, you can't do it after the season because those pitchers have reached their limits. They've, you know, some of them are burned out from October or, you know, shut down in September. And so there's no optimal time to do this, and you're not going to get a two-week break in the middle of the season for this to happen either, I don't think, unless or until you've got a new CBA where the players have agreed to shorten the season and the owners have agreed that they're still going to pay them the same amount of money. So I don't know what the solution is there, but I know it'll be talked about among the players and the commissioner.
Meanwhile, Major League Baseball is making slight changes to its pitch clock rules, but they're not going to alter the more significant portions of the mandates. It was a memo, I guess, sent to teams, and they called it a clarification memo. So I saw this, Jay. It is interesting. They're going to continue the parameters of the pitch clock that players have been using all spring. 15 seconds with the bases empty, 20 seconds with runners on base, hitter needing to be alert in the batter's box with 8 seconds remaining. So I'm interested to see as we head into the season, now that they've used this for a couple of weeks, you know, games are going down to basically, 2.5 hours, it seems like. They're really going down. If this is, players will get used to it, this is just going to become the new norm.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen fewer violations per week as the weeks have gone on here. Players are adapting to it. I think fans will adapt to it as well. It was weird to see the contrast between spring training and the WBC as they were side by side, with the much longer delays between pitches and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this memo, a lot of it's leniency for when a catcher who ends the inning on base or at bat has a little bit more time to get the gear back on, or guys who get knocked down or lose their helmets or something like that have a little bit more time to get it back together. I think clarifications is good. They're not fundamentally changing this. They spent a lot of time over the past year talking about this stuff, and
right.
While some of these rules were adopted over players' objections, they've listened to some of the feedback and they're trying to at least account for some of these edge cases where it seems a little silly to just be so strict with enforcement that you lose sight of what this is trying to do.
I know we talked so much about the Diaz injury, but Jose Altuve will be out the next couple months after a fractured right thumb. But again, that happened getting hit by a fastball. That could happen at spring training as easily as it could have happened in the WBC, as we've talked about. But as tough as the break is on Diaz for the Mets, it's also, the Mets have Ottavino and they have Robertson in the bullpen. The Astros do not really have a plan B for these next couple of months that you could just pencil right in at second base. So I'll be interested to see how Houston handles this.
Yeah, that was a bummer. And I think there was. If I'm going to criticize anything, I think Mark DeRosa, the USA manager, had a lot of questions about his bullpen handling and keeping Daniel Bard in there when he couldn't find the strike zone was certainly near the top of the list. And the fact that he hit Altuve was just a complete bummer. I don't know how Houston is going to handle this. I mean, I know. Their options are not jumping off the page here. Mauricio Dubon is one of them, and I'm blanking on the name of the other guy, David something. they're a deep team, and nobody's going to cry for them. It'd be interesting to see what happens in that division here. You've got the Astros have dominated it since 2017, with the exception of the shortened 2020 season, but you've got the Rangers making upgrades and the Angels making upgrades and the Mariners trying to live up to last year's success. So maybe it'll make it a more competitive race there. a little bit wilder. But it's a shame to see any player go down, and 2 months is a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You're writing about the positional power rankings for first base. You took first base. Your colleagues took some of the other positions. Give me your thoughts on the state of first base as we head into the start of the season.
I mean, you know, it's obviously you got the two big guys up top in Paul Goldschmidt and Freddie Freeman, but it was kind of an off year when, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. didn't produce and some of the other young guys didn't produce. I'm writing about right field right now, and it was really an off year for right fielders because some of them, like, you know, Aaron Judge was playing more center field, and Bryce Harper was playing more DH, and even Ronald Acuna Jr. was playing more DH and things like that. But we go through all 30 teams using our projection systems and our roster resource teams' estimates of playing time to get these rankings, and it's our way of previewing the season. And it takes a lot of research. So many man hours go into this. It's a lot of fun though, and pretty rewarding in the end to have this. And I'm just about to deliver my second batch here, right field, which will run I think on Friday. It's always fun to get a peek at the prospects as well as evaluate some of the position battles, I grit my teeth through this exercise every year, but I'm always satisfied at the end when it's done.
Good. And again, those are all up at Fangraphs.com. While you're there, you could check out Jay's story on the Edwin Diaz injury, Ian Anderson optioned last week by the Braves, and a Fangraphs chat as well. All right, let's cap it off. Beer of the week. What are we talking about, Jay?
Okay, this is a new one to me here. This is from Zero Gravity Brewing in Burlington, Vermont. This is their Duck Juice Hazy IPA with Mosaic, Talus, and Cryopop Mango hops. Fruity, but with a bit of tartness and a bit of bitterness, and really interesting. Hazy IPA that was a little bit different from anything that I'd had lately and really stood out to me.
Good job as always. Hey, Jay, we'll do it again with you right back here next Wednesday. Thanks as always for the time.
All right. Take care, Steve.
You too. Jay Jaffe, folks, as we keep things moving. 19 in front of 5. Back with more as Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. 48 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. Still to come, Jeff Erickson about 30 minutes from now. Lane Frank at 6. So some really fun guests are going to be joining us on the program. So if you remember, we talked here, it was either yesterday's show or Monday's show, about the transfer portal in basketball and how numerous players are now going into the portal. Well, I'll tell you this much, as expected, because there are a lot of good ones that played against the minors, including Davion McKnight of Western Kentucky. Here is who he has apparently already heard from in the portal, okay? Iowa State, Purdue, Kansas, Xavier, LSU, Memphis, Oklahoma, North Carolina State, Duquesne, Mississippi State, and Tennessee. I mean, the facts are facts. If you are lighting it up in this league, whether it's at UTEP, Western Kentucky, or anywhere, you will get high major looks. Sule Boom, Bryson Williams. Now it looks like Davion McKnight will have his choice of where he wants to go. And it will probably be for a large sum of money in the NIL world, and more than anything else, an opportunity to play for an NCAA tournament team that could even be a Final Four team when it's all said and done.
We've seen it by from a lot of different players who leave Conference USA and go to a high major or a Power 5 school and then excel over there. And I feel like now you look all across Power 5 rosters, it's a lot of seniors all over. I mean, take Texas, for example. Take Xavier, for example. example. We talk about them a lot. It's a, those teams are filled with their share of graduate transfers or seniors, and so are some of the other teams in the Sweet 16. But I'm not surprised about Davion McKnight. I was, you know, it's interesting, Steve, because a lot of UTEP fans get so excited as soon as they see a transfer portal name that they like. You know, even UTEP Zay, he wrote today about the transfer portal itself and some of the team or the players that UTEP is targeting. It's so hard to see the level of interest from these guys, especially knowing that this is so early into the process and we're still not sure, you know, what kind of the priority is for this UTEP men's basketball team.
No, we have no idea. We have absolutely no idea what the priority is. And that's why I'm so interested to see what, you know, who they end up going with when it's all said and done and who they get. I mean, you know, if you're really good and is a mid-major player, you're probably going to be getting power five or high major looks from everywhere you go, right? Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Also, when you're a player like this and you're having to weigh out all the options, it's so early. I mean, we're talking March 22nd. Don't you want to actually visit these schools like UTEP? Or don't you want to actually meet with these coaches face-to-face? And I'd be curious to hear how UTEP is along, you know, in that process.
I would, too. So, but that's the latest as we hear it regarding, you know, one particular transfer. Now, also, some other interesting news and notes. And by the way, Zay's story is an absolute must read. You have to check out his story on UTEP basketball offseason roundup, portal updates and recruiting news, because it's up right now at 600ESPNElPaso.com. And he's also not just doing men's, he's doing women's. He's got, you know, he's got a story about Jamari Sibley, but he's also talking about Solel Montrose as well.
That's right, and he was throwing out some tweets today about women's basketball, some of the names they're trying to recruit. But what I like about this story is he actually, like, we're kind of along the lines of what we're discussing right here, he breaks down the players that have supposedly been contacted by UTEP and then gives his spin on the likelihood of UTEP actually landing a player of these kind of caliber that they're going after. So, you know, for example, he mentions Clemson shooting guard Chauncey Gibson and gives an analysis that, you know, his confidence level is low that UTEP would actually get him due to, you know, schools like SMU and NC State also in the running for a player like that.
Well, look, I think that, number one, you got to realize something. When you're going up against SMU and North Carolina State, I think you'll look at fit. I think you'll look at other things, but you're also going to look at you're going to look at NIL. That's a big part of it. From what I'm hearing, okay, and just take this for what it's worth, from what I'm hearing, the majority of the players in the portal are not asking about styles, roles, fits, offenses, or defenses. The majority of the players in the portal, all they want to know is how much money will they get. And I know that sounds wrong and it sounds crazy. That is the new reality, folks, of college sports. So if you if you're UTEP and you're Joe Golding, you know, you want a shooter. And you find yourself a couple of shooters, they might not want to know what kind of offense you run or what your record was last year. Or is this the same school that won the 66 national championship and beat Kentucky? All they want to know is, hey, what do you have for me when I come in? And that's, it's, now, that's the majority. There are players that aren't like that. There are some players that probably are going for other reasons, and maybe money is secondary. Especially here at UTEP, like they built that team last year without NIL dollars. They really did. But I'm hearing more and more that when players are going into the portal, they absolutely want to know what they could be getting when they go to another school.
That's the top priority for these players. And if you have the skills to play at the highest levels out there, and maybe you want to treat basketball like a business, well, that's the result of this NIL world we're living with right now. It's players, their family members, handlers, marketing directors, whatever you want to call people around the player's circles, they're vouching for them to get as much NIL dollars as they can.
You're right. If Tyron Smith comes back to UTEP, he's still going to pocket whatever NIL money he was given when he went to Texas A&M. How about that?
I can't grasp that. I can't wrap my mind around that.
Goes in the portal, signs with A&M, gets an NIL deal, never steps foot on a football field, and possibly could be coming back to El Paso playing for UTEP.
What kind of job is or out there where you can actually get paid for never setting foot in the place? Or
sign me up. I want that job.
Me too. I want to collect some of that kind of money.
Hour number two coming up next. Start of hour number two here on Sports Talk as we continue. He's Adrian Broaddus. I'm Steve Kaplowitz. Well, we heard the news that Willie Cager had passed away at the age of 81 over the weekend. There were a lot of people that wanted to see Willie and his memorial held at the Don Haskins Center or Memorial Gym. Okay, those were the two that were mentioned as soon as news first started to break. Now, this is interesting, okay? I did not know that it is an NCAA violation for UTEP to waive costs for events for anyone. They're not allowed to do that. So, because UTEP owns and operates the Haskins Center or any facility on campus, they are not allowed to waive any cost for any particular type of event. That being said, if there is going to be a public memorial next month at the Don Haskins Center for Willie Cager, the cost, according to Colin Deaver, could be $10,000. And, you know, Cager's family has said that they want everybody to honor him the way he deserves, which I totally agree. So, Cager's family is asking the community for help to fund a public memorial next month. Now, here's what I don't get, okay? When Don Haskins passed away, not only was there a memorial at the Haskins Center, there was a viewing in the arena where, I know I was there, you could walk by the court and the bear was there in an open casket. So that was something that happened. Now, I have no idea who covered the bill for that. If UTEP, I don't know how that works, okay? I really don't. But if it's true that it's an NCAA violation to not charge for something for the facility, it just seems crazy to me, Adrian. It really does. But the point of this whole conversation is that if Willie Cager will have the opportunity to have a memorial next month at the Haskins Center, it will cost $10,000, and the family doesn't have $10,000, so they are asking El Paso to see if they can step up. Somebody put together a GoFundMe page and try to get this $10,000 covered as soon as humanly possible.
You know, I understand the rules, the regulations, especially if it comes from the NCAA, for reasons why you have to rent this venue out, like the Don Haskins Center, but all of that aside, it just doesn't sit right with me that we're talking today about one of the most iconic players in UTEP's history, and forget just UTEP, just El Paso history, and it just doesn't sit right to me knowing that that cost could be $10,000 for a memorial and funeral services out there next month. That cost does not sit right for me.
Yeah, I know. The ceremony for Cager's funeral is going to be small and private, just for the family. But they do want to allow the public the opportunity to honor him. That's the whole thing the family is saying. And that's why this whole, the Don Haskins memorial was brought up. And I don't blame him. I would too. Either the Haskins Center or Memorial Gym, either one of the two, because they both hold special places for obvious reasons. Cager played at Memorial, but he was a fixture at the Haskins Center for a long time. So either of those facilities would be great if I'm if you're the Cager family, in my opinion.
I think that the way I know that this situation, it might be kind of a is what it is type of situation where the community, I have no doubt in my mind, they'll rally around this and they will raise that $10,000 in order to get celebration of life out at the Don Haskins Center to happen. There's no doubt in my mind that that will happen because El Paso is so gracious when it comes to things like this. But for the future, Steve, I wish we could come up with something where UTEP has like an emergency fund they mm-hmm. can pull from for situations like this, whether it's things like the Chapin Parkland game, which also, they had to the school districts paid for
that
as well. Or things like this, where it's a tragedy in somebody who meant so much to the university, where you could just pull from an emergency fund where you could pull from to cover the cost for things like this.
Let me say this, okay? As far as Chapin Parkland goes, that game did not have to be played at the Haskins Center.
I agree.
That could have been played anywhere. And if you waive the costs for that, what you're doing is you're setting a precedent that other high schools might want to play rivalry games there or big games there or other things like that. So I can understand the at least that part. I can. But when you've got a guy that is, one of the most, loved former players from that team, and you realize how much that building meant to him and the city and everything else in the school, that's the kind and the significance and the historical aspect of what that win was like for the city and the community and the university. That's the kind of thing where you say to yourself, man, $10,000 again. I mean, you raise that kind of money, and I'm sure if El Pasoans had the opportunity, they would raise 10 grand in a few hours. It wouldn't even be a struggle. But, you would hope that UTEP could find a way to if they have to charge, at least how about try to make it as reasonable as possible? How's that?
I agree. Just so you don't have to go through something like this. And I mean, I hear what you're saying as far as maybe kind of going case by case in this scenario. But if you set something up like an emergency fund, mm-hmm. you kind of prepare yourself for some of the unexpected things that could come out in life. And this is one of them right here. I guess this is just kind of that anomaly where UTEP would rally around this using that emergency fund. I'm just kind of speaking ideas out into the universe right here, but just a way they could pull funds and not have to ask the community for something like this.
No, I understand. I think that makes a lot of sense. And that one just broke a little while ago. And now I'm interested to see, how quickly a GoFundMe page is set up, and then how fast the funds are raised to cover the memorial. So remember this, okay? When the Bear had his memorial, it was a who's who of El Paso. It really was. It was a star-studded event. And it was so big, it was televised. It was televised locally, that event. I remember. But there, and we've lost other members of the 66 team. But you think about it, when Bobby Joe passed, that memorial was not, held in a gym or an arena. And then a lot of the other individuals who have passed just weren't living in El Paso at the time. Harry Flournoy wasn't. Orston Arce wasn't. Jerry Armstrong wasn't. And, you think about that. So as they've passed, we've talked about it and we've mourned their losses, but they weren't El Pasoans at the time. And they were 66 players and they were part of Texas Western, but Willie's different. Willie is such a big part of the community and the fabric here in El Paso. He really is. 12 past as Sports Talk rolls along, 505-6009. That is our telephone number. Let me go to Neil, who joins us next. Hi, Neil. Thanks for the call.
Hi. What I'm calling about is you're talking about the Willie Cager and the great UTEP team and the great victory against Kentucky.
Yes.
But 16 years before was a very similar game. City College of New York, which became the only team to win the NIT and the NCAA the same year, was starting lineup was two blacks and three Jews. And their opponent against Kentucky was Kentucky in the earlier round. And Kentucky had the same coach, Adolph Rupp, that they had 16 years later. And in that game, because his anti-Semitic and anti-black, in fact, he went on to say in one of the articles I read that he would never coach I'm not going to use the nasty derogative term for Jews and blacks. He was known as a racist against both.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came to the opening of the game, the Kentucky players, City College of New York players, were willing held out their hands to shake the Kentucky players, who refused to shake their hands. Again, he was a winning coach from a winning program, and City College was a fairly low-ranked team, much lower-ranked than Kentucky was. City College went on to win both the NIT and the NCAA, mm-hmm. the only time in history one team won both the same year. They were coached by two incredible coaches. In the case of City College, the coach was a guy named...
Nat Holman.
Yes. And he also was made the Hall of Fame. And he coached Martin basketball. Rupp coached the old-fashioned basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar what happened was that Holman used the motion, passing, sacrificing the good shot by helping another player who was opened, cutting in so they can dunk the ball or at least lay up. And again, Kentucky was the heavy favorite. At the end of the game, City College of New York won 89-50. It was the biggest victory against Kentucky in the history of the program, at least up to that point. They lost by 39 points. Rupp was so confident of victory that he was planning to go see a Broadway play the next day, the gap between the games. When City College of New York won, the coach took all his players to see South Pacific, which I thought was ironic and kind of nice. They also, when they reviewed these games at Madison Square Garden, they said those were the two greatest games in the history of the Garden. There was 18,000 screaming fans. There were parades from one campus of City College to the other. The city went crazy. And just like against UTEP, they made up statements like all the players at City College were unable to get in, they weren't smart, et cetera, et cetera. Of those players, one became a state senator, another became a dentist, another ran an insurance agency, another one became a psychologist, and another one became a basketball coach. When they talk about the scandal that happened the next year, what they failed to mention was Kentucky and Bradley, who finished number two, both were part of the point shaving, and this team was never accused of point shaving. They didn't think they were good enough to have the gambler's interest. And I just find it very eerie, both against Kentucky. Kentucky was a racist program in 1950, and it was a racist program in 1966. And that it was, like I say, an incredible victory, a great upset, and the New York fans were as ecstatic as any fan, period. I just thought I'd make these comments because it seems appropriate that we talk about this and talk about Willie Cager as one continuum of fighting against bigoted coaches and winning it all.
Fair enough.
Great upset.
If I wasn't up against the break in another segment with a guest, I would talk to you more about the scandal the following year, but we'll get into that at another time, Neil. We can do that at another time.
One thing about that scandal, Kentucky also point-shaved.
That's true.
And Bradley also point-shaved.
But it killed CCNY. It killed that program. That program was so, even though they were cleared, they were that took all the positive from the previous year, and now all you ever talk about is the point-shaving scandal of CCNY. They don't talk about of Kentucky and Toledo and Long Island University and New York University. It's always CCNY as the lead.
Let me make one comment. CCYN took responsibility, rightfully or wrongly, and killed the program.
Mm-hmm. They did.
I don't think Kentucky's program was killed, even though they did point shaving.
Right.
I don't think Bradley's program was killed, even though they did point shaving. No other comment. You have to go on a break.
Appreciate the
Take
call.
Care.
Thanks, Neil. All right. 19 past here on Sports Talk. Good stuff from Neil. We'll come back. We'll do a little fantasy next with Jeff Erickson right after Charlie Wan in this traffic update. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. Been a good show so far. We're going to keep that topic going as well as we spend a little time right now and get to join none other than RotoWire.com's Jeff Erickson for our weekly chat. Your one-stop shop for all fantasy sports, RotoWire.com. I'll be the first to ask you, how much did you enjoy watching the World Baseball Classic?
Oh, I loved it. I was getting. It made me wonder, though, like, where were the best U.S. pitchers? Why can't, you know, Japan had Darvish and Ohtani. Where was Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander or Corbin Burns or Gerrit Cole or countless others? The Dominican had their, for the most part, had their best pitchers. You know, every other country had their best pitchers, but we didn't, and that was frustrating.
Do you think that after what went down over the last few weeks, especially this week, we'll start to see more of an interest 3 years from now when they ramp this up again?
Oh, sure. I mean, the interest was already high.
I mean, from, like, pitchers. Pitching interest. So, like, maybe more guys want to play.
Yeah, I do. Although, like, Scherzer was even talking, like, hey, if they had it in the middle of the year, I'd definitely do it. I think there's some pressure from teams. I get that a little bit. And I know some others are very particular about their ramp-up. But, hey, foreign pitchers seem to do just fine as far as that goes. We'll see. I hope there are no injuries like that are pitcher related like that, so it deters other pitchers from using it, but doing it because it's such a fantastic tournament. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I mean, I agree with you. The two biggest fantasy fallout injuries: the Edwin Diaz injury, and then we just found out today 2 months for Jose Altuve and the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, Diaz is a total fluke. It could happen anywhere, anytime.
I agree.
And Altuve, yeah, that stinks. But injuries happen in spring training all the time, too. It's not like we're going to outlaw spring training. The fact is, injuries happen in that, too.
Oh, I'm not trying to blame the WBC like some have. I'm just talking about that, you know, you get through a tournament, guys are going to get hurt. And from a fantasy standpoint, the Altuve injury is tough because – you know, I maybe it's Mauricio Dubon. I don't know who Houston plugs in. Whereas Diaz, you at least have Robertson and Ottavino right now, who both have closer experience, able to fill in for the Mets.
No, that's exactly right. And the market is suggesting it's going to be Robertson. I haven't seen a definitive word from the Mets yet on which of the two, if it's just one of the two.
Well, I'm interested to see when they do decide who they're going to go with, how they handle that, and but they have options. That's the most important thing, at least as far as that goes. There's been some strange things going on in baseball as far as free agency goes. Can you explain to me why the Colorado Rockies signed Yurickson Profar?
I can't explain the Colorado Rockies to you, Steve. I'll go one step farther.
Good. We need
anything that they do. I would do something differently, it seems like, a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's because they're neither rebuilding nor competing. They're in that netherland. And I think as a fan, it's the most frustrating thing. I mean, at least if you're rebuilding, you can have an honest conversation about it. You could see, like, okay, we've got these prospects coming up, but they don't. They have a couple of interesting prospects. Zach Veen steals a lot of bases. Okay, great. But it's not like they're bursting at the seams waiting to contend. You know, they're just – and they're in a division where they've got a lot of smart franchises out there that are loaded, too, and they're willing to spend. I don't see a plan.
I don't either. And moves are baffling. I'm at a loss when I'm trying to figure out exactly what they're doing. But I figured you more than anybody could try to understand that, although we probably would need a lot more than 20 minutes. We might need more than 3 hours trying to really dive into this to get an answer.
Yeah, you know, they did lose Brendan Rodgers, so maybe they feel like Profar can play a little middle infield again, but he hasn't done that in a while. Maybe it's just an added depth bat. Michael Toglia is their projected starting right fielder for the start of the season. I don't think Profar will be ready for the start of the season, but maybe they wanted to upgrade off of that. But, you know, upgrade to what, you know, and for what cause? That's the question.
I don't know either. I'm with you on that one. Jeff Erickson with us, rotowire.com. If you've got any fantasy questions, now is definitely the time to ask, especially with fantasy baseball season just a little more than a week away. How great is that? I mean, we're right around the corner.
Oh, I know. I feel this way every year, and I kind of get that, I have to cram for my final exam feeling that I haven't done enough studying, even though I've done a lot of my drafts already, but I have some big ones coming up. Mm. I have drafts Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it's going to be jam-packed time for me.
I have 4 drafts Sunday from 12 o'clock to 9 at night.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
No, and listen, this is not by design. This is just by playing in leagues, and they all pick the same data to draft. I mean, what are you going to say? No? So
you are going to be so brain dead by the end of the day. Are any of them auctions?
Yes. Yes, some are auctions. Oy. Yeah, thank you. Oy is right. I appreciate that. And you're 100% right. But that's okay.
They're fun. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But, yeah.
I do, too. But spread them out for me, please. I mean, at least, you know what I was going to say is I've got a day job. This is your day job. This is what you do. So you live for this stuff, Jeff.
Yeah, I do. Amazing.
Who are you buying? I mean, like, over the last few weeks in spring training, what have you seen? And you're like, you know what? I want that guy on all my leagues. I want that guy on my teams. Who are you just trying to go after right now?
You know, I am, like everybody else, I want a piece of Jordan Walker somewhere there. Just one. I do have, like, I have a best ball league where I have him, but I'd like to get him in, like, a managed league as well. It's fun to get the hype rookie. I want to get some Corbin Carroll in my life. He's another guy that's rising all over the place. His price has gotten more expensive. It might be harder to get him now. But, still, nonetheless, I want him a little bit here and there. I want to get Raisel Iglesias as my closer in a few places. I don't want to be the first to draft a closer unless Class A drops to the third round in a 15-teamer somehow. But I don't think that's going to happen. There's a few guys that are targets. I don't get too much FOMO, though, because I play in so many leagues.
I don't blame you. Are there any players you're trying to avoid?
Oh, yeah, plenty. Any injury? I try to avoid the injured players. Like, I won't have Jose Altuve on my teams. Unless he really, really, really falls to, like, 250. But he never falls that low.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, again, Altuve, I mean, if you get him, you know you're not going to get him really until June.
And what are you getting when you get him? That's the other question. Is he going to be able to hit for power? He's got coming back from a broken thumb. Is he going to run like he did last year, or is it going to be more like the years from before? If he doesn't run like he did last year, then kind of have to question what you're getting.
That's true. Listen, I just swung a deal for Marcus Semien and in a dynasty league, and I have, I had Rodgers. Rodgers is out for the season, and now I decided let me go with Semien. And after the Altuve injury, Marcus Semien is probably the best second baseman left in fantasy right now.
It might have been beforehand.
True enough.
I think I had him rated as the best second baseman, check eligibility rules and all that, but. The top end of the second base pool is definitely hurting. I mean, there's Semien, there's Albies, there's Jazz Chisholm. You take away Altuve from that grouping. You have, like, Tommy Edman. You drop a little lower after that. And, it's the depth areas. I often find that I'm filling second base from the depth guys, like a Brandon Lau or a Jonathan India.
Adrian knows a little something about Brandon Lau, don't you,
Adrian? That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's my guy.
There you go. Hey, by the way, I thought Chisholm's playing center field. Will this be the last year he'll have eligibility at second?
Most likely, yes.
It's too bad. All right.
Yeah.
It'll probably
be the last year we have Dalton Varsho at catcher.
Yep. That's why you better really enjoy that ride while it lasts, too.
Yep.
I agree with you. More with Jeff as we keep things moving here on Sports Talk. But first, back to Adrian in this bottom of the hour SportsCenter update. Now with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. This question came in during the segment from Enrique Ortiz at EPBITW. Yoshida had a great WBC appearance. Why is he underrated, and how do you see him in his first year in Boston?
Well, I think his price is going to go up because of the WBC, but it's a fear of the unknown. We've seen a lot of players come over from the MPB and struggle in their first year as a hitter. Obviously, there's some exceptions. Ichiro was great. Hideki Matsui was great. But we saw other hitters, you know, struggle. Shogo Akiyama for the Reds recently is one example of that. So, you know, you see that, and, you know, so I'll take what I know sometimes. But at the price where he's going, sure, I'm on board. I just think he's going to go up this weekend.
Are there other players who you feel like will also see their values increase as a result of the WBC? That's a really good column for RotoWire.com.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Santander comes to mind as someone whose value is going to go up a little bit. Had a big series for Venezuela, lost some weight in the offseason. You know, the proverbial best shape of his life.
Mm.
I've found that, you know, you ignore those comments at your peril. I think sometimes there are players that dedicate themselves and, you know, really make a big difference here in the offseason, and it does matter. Sometimes, too, you know, matters the wrong way. Sometimes I added muscle so I can hit homers. Joey Votto comes to mind and then really struggled, you know. So there's some things there that you're looking at there that sometimes it doesn't help. But in any case, like with Santander, I'm kind of on board.
Francisco Alvarez is the top catching prospect for the Mets, just sent to AAA because he did not look good during spring training. This happens a lot, doesn't it, Jeff, where we get these can't-miss guys, top prospects. They don't play particularly well out of the gate, and they get sent down. Even if they do play well, they sometimes get sent down so that the teams can try to control their clock as far as arbitration
yeah.
goes.
It was kind of preordained with him, too. You know, he's coming back from an injury over the offseason. Took a while before he was actually able to play defense. For a while, he was DH only. So in Alvarez's case, I think he'll be up, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. The Mets, I mean, they've got a lot of moving parts right now. Who's going to win the third base job? I've seen some rumblings that Brett Beatty could win that job outright, so we'll see what happens there. But you know, they've got these young guys that are ready to contribute soon, and they've obviously spent a lot of money, too.
They have. By the way, since we talked a lot of WBC on the show, we should mention right now that Japan has a 21-year-old pitcher who throws absolute gas. In fact,
yes.
I think he was hitting 102 on the gun, and I know a lot of fantasy fans were excited, wondering when he'll get posted so we could start seeing him in the big leagues.
Yeah, that's right. Rory Sasaki, he was fun. Threw a perfect game last year in the NPB and then followed that up with like 8 perfect innings and then just got pulled because of a pitch count. And, you know, they just wanted to protect him for the long term because he was so young. But, I mean, wow, what talent, what fun. I mean, I know Mexico had that, Luis Urias had that one home run against him, but otherwise he looked really good. The Japan all around, their pitching was fantastic in the entire tournament. But Sasaki, well, he's got, I think, 4 more years before he's eligible to come over to come stateside, so it's going to be a while before we get him, but could be he's like the next Darvish, the next Ohtani. Maybe not the next Ohtani because nobody's the next Ohtani. Ohtani is just different. Everybody else, he's just a phenomenon. But, you know, maybe the next Yu Darvish. And remember, that was quite the sensation when Darvish came over.
That's true. Let's talk about the NFL for a moment and some of the moves that are going on this offseason. There have been a ton. I don't know where you really want to start. How about today's news? Browns trading for Elijah Moore. Jets getting another second-round pick. Maybe they can start stockpiling second-round picks to get number 12 and not have to worry about giving up that 13th overall pick in the first round.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting there. Really thought that that would be part of the Aaron Rodgers package, but apparently not. I want to see Elijah Moore unlocked. You know, it all depends on how Watson plays, obviously, but I like the move from Cleveland's standpoint. They've quietly had a pretty decent offseason.
Do you like Adam Thielen to the Panthers?
Not really, but you know, they need a veteran receiver for their rookie quarterback, whether mm-hmm. it's Stroud or Young or Richardson or anybody else. But, you know, I don't know how much he has left in the tank.
Speaking of veterans, how about the Cowboys sending a fifth and sixth over to Houston for Brandon Cooks?
I like that for the Cowboys, although it's a year late, but still I like it.
I do, too. I'm looking at some of the other moves. Darius Slayton with the Giants sticking around 2 years, $12 million.
Yeah, they've been busy this offseason. You know, they committed a lot of money to retain Daniel Jones. They went and got upgraded at tight end. Quite a significant bit there. Spent some good draft capital on that. So, you know, they're trying to get, you know, a better surrounding cast around Jones this year, and you got to like that.
Miles Sanders goes to the Panthers. Jamal Williams goes to the Saints. A pair of veteran running backs changing teams.
Yeah, you know, note that the Eagles didn't spend any money to keep Sanders. I thought that was noteworthy. You're probably going to see Joe Mixon be available at some point, too. You see a lot of one-year contracts for running backs, and you can see why Austin Eckler is so upset with his contract situation.
Juju Smith-Schuster goes to the Patriots, 3 years, $33 million, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, look at what's left behind. You know, not only did Juju leave, but also Mecole Hardman left, too.
Yeah, he did. Joined the Jets today. That's right, 100% on that one. And meanwhile, I guess the Lions decided to replace Williams with David Montgomery, giving him 3 years and $18 million.
Yeah, so, you know, good. You know, it just seems like they're trying to upgrade the running back room. There's some speculation they might be in on Bijan Robinson, in which case, I mean, DeAndre Swift is obviously going to be fungible for them. But, yeah, we'll wait and see if that happens before we declare that one there. But, it's fun trying to read the tea leaves to see which team is going to go grab Robinson. He's probably the only running back that goes in the first round. Maybe the kid from Bama, Gibbs, too. We'll see.
Did you like the Giants trading for Darren Waller from the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, I did. I think that was pretty good for Daniel Jones's purposes there. You just need to get better talent around him.
You're right. And by the way, everybody seems to love Jacoby Myers to the Raiders for 3 years and $33
million. Yeah, but then they traded Waller. I mean, and then they have Jimmy G, you know, and just like, I don't know. It just seemed like a lateral move to me. And yet, I don't feel like they're any closer to being a better team.
What happens with Lamar Jackson? Does he end? Does he stay in Baltimore? Or does he go someplace else?
I think he stays in Baltimore because I wouldn't say there's a concerted effort by the NFL to avoid the Deshaun Watson contract, but there's a concerted effort to avoid the Deshaun Watson contract. No one wants to be that next team to do that again.
Let's wrap it up. Rotowire.com. Let's talk about all the content you have, from the baseball material with the season right around the corner to all the off-season material in the NFL, basketball, sports galore. It's all up right now. What do you want to profile?
Yeah, we're going to do one more set of roundtable rankings. I'm constantly updating projections and rankings. Lots of articles up on the site. Oh, just our baseball draft kit. Go to rotowire.com/free. Get your free trial. No credit cards required. Take a peek behind that paywall, and hopefully you want to subscribe.
When's your next radio spot with Cody Decker?
You know, I briefly saw him at Tout Wars this past week, and I don't know when I'll be working with him again, but, you know, it was cool that he was actually there for some of the drafts.
Was Tout Wars in New York City this past weekend?
It is.
Oh, very
it
cool.
It was this past weekend. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I had a good time and came back with some memories and a little bit of a cold.
Oh, well, hope you feel better. You sounded great on the air today. We'll do it again with you right back here next Wednesday. Jeff, thanks for the time.
You bet. Anytime, Steve.
Jeff Erickson, folks, from rotowire.com as we continue. All right, 20 minutes from now, Lane Frank will join us for our 6 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that conversation. But up next, it's KVIA ABC 7 News. It's right up here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. I saw this tweet a little while ago from Cultura, and Cultura tweets, "Steve, is this real? Dr. Natalicio would have covered this herself. Where is the leadership?" Talking about the Cager family asking the community for help, having a memorial at the Haskins Center. Look, all I'm going to say is this, all right? When Coach Haskins passed, they did a viewing and later on a memorial at the Haskins Center. The memorial, I don't think the memorial was free. I feel like the memorial was either $5 or $10 to attend. I might be wrong. It might have been free. The viewing was free. They had it open for either a day or two. I remember that because I was there. I'd never heard anything about a fee to put Coach Haskins there, ever. And if there was, all I could tell you is somebody took care of that cost and it never got out in the public, ever. Because nothing ever, there was never even a talk about a fee. So I don't know. I really can't answer that one. Then again, you know, one way to do it is just have it at the Haskins Center, charge $2 for everybody to get in, and then you cover the fee that way. I mean, you could do that too. You get 5,000 people there, you've already taken care of the $10,000 cost for the arena. But I never heard that before. Never have.
We just received an update about this. A UTEP's official told Colin Deaver of KTSM they're going to find a way to use fund the use of either Memorial Gym or the Haskins Center, but they're still working with the family to find a date that works for both parties.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Interesting, right?
That is interesting. Yeah, once that got out, that was not a good look. That was not a good look for UTEP.
No.
So, yeah, that's a problem. So, all right. Very, very interesting. As we continue, let me go to Dan. He's next up. 52 past. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Dan.
Well, first of all, let me start to. I want to talk about your last caller from New York College, but I want to start first by, because sometimes I don't express myself on what I'm thinking, so I want to apologize, especially to you, because I know you're of the Jewish faith. And what the man is saying, I agree with him. Everything that he said is good. That's a very intelligent call, probably the most intelligent call I've heard in your show in a long time.
Okay.
But, Steve, mm-hmm. Again, being a Jew is a religion, not a race. So to me, there's no second to the 1966 team.
Dan, I got to tell you this, though. I got to tell you this, okay? There is anti-Semitism all over the place, you might say that it's a religion, not a race. But let me tell you mm-hmm. something: whether it's a religion or a race, hatred is hatred. Okay, that's I'm going to tell you right now. So you're right; religion is different than race. I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm going to tell mm-hmm. you right now: whether it's anti-Semitism or racial hatred, hatred is still hatred. And that's, to me, the point. I think that was the point that Neil was making when he called in. I really believe that.
Yeah, but still, you know, like I said.
It's a sticky subject. It's a sticky subject. I get you.
It is, but to me, you know, well, growing up in El Paso and in a lot of places where I lived, you know, religion is separate from everything else. And yes, I have seen what the people, well, let's say this straight, what the Germans tried to do to the Jewish race. I mean,
well, they didn't try. They killed 6 million people in the Holocaust, and that was a. There was no attempt. Yeah. That was to try to exterminate the entire race, and they killed 6 million of them. But I mean, listen, again, I don't want to make this about that. I mean, was to try to compare the 50 win over Kentucky to what UTEP did to Texas Western in 66, and I get it. That I've never had a call like that on the show. Neil went a place we haven't gone, and unfortunately, Dan, I just we're running low on time this hour, so it's difficult to do that. But you know.
Yeah. You got it. But you know what? I think you understand where I'm coming from on both sides, religion and the game. But 66 Miners stand by themselves, and I think it always will. But thanks, Steve. I really appreciate you being so candid with me and giving me the time to say something. Thank you.
All right, Dan. Appreciate the call. When we come back, final hour, and Lane Frank standing by. Looking forward to spending an hour talking to the host of the Schoolyard Sports Podcast. I've already lost track on how many episodes. We're somewhere in like the 118, 119 range. He'll let me know for sure. Are we 120 lower or 117, 116, 15? All right, good. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. You know what time it is. It's time for Lane Frank, Schoolyard Sports. Hang on one second. Let me make sure I've got a I think I did it again. Poor Lane.
I got you. No worries.
Take care of it while I get Lane plugged in.
I got you, Steve. Well, we're going to bring on Lane Frank onto the show. I was going to come over to the studio and help you guys out. We had him plugged in on three, Steve, so he's good
okay,
there at
good.
Three.
He's here. He's there. Let me see. Can you talk to me? Come here.
Good. We good?
Oh, yeah. It sounded great.
Perfect.
Just like
perfect.
Usual. Very nice. All right. Lane is back with us. He's wearing his Texas Western cap. By the way, that's a collector's item. You know why? It's got a Nike swoosh on it.
It does.
And starting in August, they're going Adidas.
Horrible.
So
I love this.
You'll be wearing a Texas Western Adidas cap from
it's
now.
It's a cool
on.
Hat right now.
It is a cool hat. Do you are you a big Nike guy?
Big Nike guy. Never wear Adidas.
No?
So, Nike Jordan only, I'd say.
Well, does Adidas make nice tennis shoes? Like for playing tennis? You don't even know, do you?
They do. I wear New Balance for tennis shoes.
Oh, you do? You have a contract with New Balance?
I wish.
I bet you do. I believe that. Have you ever tried Adidas shoes?
I mean, sure. I used to wear Adidas shoes all the time, but I don't like Adidas anymore. Kind of as my beat-up shoes, not as much anymore.
Good. So Adidas are your beat-up shoes?
Used to be. Not anymore. I got rid of Adidas.
By the way, what is exactly beat-up shoes mean?
Everyday shoes I could play recess. I mean, back in eighth grade, I guess, PE in or just run around in all day. So okay. Work, school, anything like that.
What are your go-to shoes these days? What do you like that you have to have that, those are the shoes you're wearing for the big things?
You know, I'm not no sneaker expert. I guess that would be my brother's. But I have my dinner shoes. I wear those every now and then to dinners. And then obviously I have my everyday shoes that I'm wearing right now.
All right. Your brothers, by the way, your older brothers are absolutely sneaker experts.
Exactly.
You think they'll ever start their own sneaker line after what happened? Do you think they'll ever create their own line?
I don't know if they're going to get back in the sneaker game. It was kind of at its peak when they did it. Now it's kind of decreasing a little bit.
Yeah, I know. But, the sneaker game is still big. Are you looking forward to seeing Air when it comes out?
I am. That's going to be a great movie. 100% around Tomatoes. 100%.
Really?
100%.
That's big time.
Definitely.
All right. If it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, Adrian, that's a must see.
I'm watching it this Friday. We got
are you
tickets.
Really?
Yeah, we're
you've already got opening
go.
Night.
Yes, I'm ready
to go.
That was
April 5th.
Well, no, whenever it is, we're ready to go.
Maybe Adrian's going
to
sneak
preview. I thought it was Friday, but we were ready to go. I talked to my wife, Alyssa. She's all in to watch it as well. She told me she's got tickets, so let's go.
Can you
go.
Give us an Adrian's movie review on air?
Easy. That's
maybe
no
you
doubt.
And Lane can see it at the same time, so when he comes in, we could do like a Siskel and Ebert and have the two of you go back and forth on the movie.
Like
that would be kind of
cool.
Movie
reviews are awesome.
Let's do
now,
it.
Adrian reviews movies with bananas, okay? So if it's a great movie, it's a golden banana.
Okay.
If it's a really good, would you go five bananas
there's,
or
a plain
ten?
Banana? There's plain banana, so that's five.
Okay.
Rotten banana is a one. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the golden banana is the 10.
So five is the exceptional. The golden is the perfect. Is the perfect
that's
movie?
That's right. Yes.
All right.
I've seen a show before. It was on Rumors, and if the rumor is true, it'd be four Harbaugh heads. If it was false, it'd be one Harbaugh head.
A Harbaugh head.
It was a Michigan show, so it'd be a Jim Harbaugh head. If it was that's true, good. They'd give you four Harbaugh heads. If it was false, they'd give you one.
I like that. That's good. By the way, favorite sports movie of all time for you?
Draft Day.
Really?
Draft Day. No doubt about it. Favorite movie ever.
What?
It's a good movie.
Well, you're 15, right?
15.
Just making sure. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, spit some other sports movies out there, and I'll rate them.
All right. Fair enough. We'll start with, I'm going to put you on the spot, right? You're wearing Texas Western, Glory Road.
Okay, great movie. Classic.
All right.
I think it's just a little bit different because I already knew the story. I didn't know the story. I think they remade it great, but...
How many Harbaugh heads you give Glory Road?
Let's give it four.
All right.
It was great, but I already knew the story,
And what, five five Harbaugh heads would be Draft Day?
Five Harbaugh heads would be Draft Day. Let's go different at Harbaugh heads. Let's go Squared Sports.
How many schoolyard sports? What do you got?
Schoolyard sports figures.
Figures. All right. How many schoolyard sports figures you get? So four.
So four to five. Glory Road, five Draft Day, let's call it.
All right. Fair enough. What about, since you like Draft Day, let's talk about Field of Dreams.
Never seen it.
What the heck is wrong with your parents?
Never seen
Field
of Dreams.
How have they never shown you Field of Dreams?
I didn't want to watch it. I've never wanted to watch it.
You've never wanted to watch it?
Never wanted to watch Field of Dreams. You know what another great sport movie
is? What is going on
Little
here?
Big League. Great movie.
Oh, my God. You're telling me you've never seen Field of Dreams, but you're going to tell me about Little Big League?
It's a great movie.
Have you seen Mr. October? No, yeah. was it Mr. Baseball? Isn't that the one with Tom Selleck?
Yeah.
Mr.
I don't
Baseball.
Think I've ever seen that.
Good, I haven't either. What about Bull Durham?
Never seen Bull Durham, but I mean, I've been to
this
Durham
segment,
before.
This
like
segment is going downhill in a hurry. Now, listen.
It's been baseball movies only.
First off, you're a baseball guy.
Okay.
Your dad's a huge baseball fan.
I'm a bigger baseball fan.
I blame your dad on this. I really do. Because, like, for me, with my son, who's 10, He's seen every sports movie from the 80s.
So have I.
No, you've missed
them. So many sports.
You missed Field of Dreams, and you just said you never saw the other one. You didn't see that one either. Have you seen Major League?
I've seen Major League. I've seen both Major Leagues.
All right, well, there's actually three of them, but we don't even count the third because it was so bad.
Exactly.
What do you give the first one? How many?
I think the second one might be a little bit better than the first one. I'd say five. Five for both.
Oh my God, you're giving the second one better than the first?
Might be. I haven't seen it in about a year.
You need to refresh your memory.
But I've seen it at least five times.
Have you seen, all right, let me think. What else have you seen? Have you seen football movies?
Jerry Maguire.
Okay, there you go.
That's a good one. Five.
That's also a good.
That's also a great one. Five.
Fair enough. What about Waterboy?
Waterboy? It's a classic, but it's also a bit of a comedy. I'll go three.
It is a comedy. Did you like the program?
What's the program?
Okay, listen.
Okay. Let's talk.
You're a little bit older than me. We are done with this segment. All right. Now, here's what I'm going to do with you. All right?
I like the newer sports movies. What about the one Hustle with Adam Sandler this summer?
No,
did you not like that?
No, it was fine, but you got to watch these.
What about Moneyball? What about all the Creed movies?
Yeah. How about Rocky? Have you seen all of them?
I haven't seen any Rocky.
Listen, we're done. We are done. We're ending this segment with you on the movies.
I've seen every Creed movie.
I am very, very disappointed in your parents.
Okay.
Because the fact that you haven't seen Rocky, any of the Rockies.
Too old. I'm not watching a movie from 1976.
Why not?
Because that's boring.
No, it's not.
All the Creed movies are great. I've seen.
Have you not seen Rocky III when he fights Apollo Creed?
The only Rocky movie I've ever seen is when they fought Drago. That's the only one I've ever seen.
What about?
Because I wanted to see it before I saw Creed II.
No. What about Clubber Lang?
I've never seen it.
Mr. T.
Never seen it.
Do you even know who Mr. T is?
Nope.
Oh my God! Hang on, I need to.
Ask me anything about the Creed franchise, and I'll get it right.
This is really, really disturbing. Now, Adrian is 20. He's older than you by about 10 years.
Okay.
About 25, 26.
Not too bad.
Now, like you, Adrian hadn't seen many of these movies. So last summer he went on a binge. Okay, all he did was watch a movie a day, and he reviewed them. Adrian's movie reviews, famous. But you, on the other hand,
I've seen a bunch of sports movies. Just
no,
not the
you
ones
haven't.
About.
You haven't seen any of the classics.
You consider them classics.
They are.
I consider them atrocities.
Have you seen atrocities? Have you seen League of Their Own?
Never seen League of Their Own.
You know what? You're a lost cause. You are a lost cause.
I wouldn't say that.
You are. Jerry, what'd you do to him? I mean, even your grandfather.
What about some newer movies? I blame him too. What about Hustle with Juancho Hernan
Gomez? Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. Do you own a DVD player anymore?
What's a DVD? No, I'm kidding.
You probably don't know.
I do know what a DVD player is, but I don't own one.
I have a DVD player in the house, a spare one. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you about a dozen sports movies.
Okay.
And your homework is going to be to watch these movies that you probably can stream for free now. But why stream them when you can watch them in the glorious DVD format, and then you could talk to me about these movies?
I'll tell you this. Let's save DVD player. I'll stream them, and I'll give you the rating.
Fair enough. I'll give you the list of movies during the break.
It'll be my homework.
I'm not doing this for our listeners. I feel bad for my listeners. They're probably driving off the road listening
For the listeners of this show, sorry that Steve hasn't seen any of the great sports movies. Now he considers the trust.
I've seen
ones.
Draft Day.
Draft Day's great.
Yeah, it was all right.
What's wrong with Draft Day? It's amazing. It represents modern day sports.
Yeah, it does.
It's unrealistic, but it's amazing because that's what everybody wants to do when they play their Madden franchise.
Okay, so that's why you liked it, because it mimicked a video game.
Not exactly.
Fair enough.
But
right?
It was a video game type situation. You don't trade all your picks, get them back, then do it again. That's what the Panthers are trying to do right now.
If Draft Day is your all-time favorite movie, what's your second all-time favorite movie?
It's not my all-time favorite movie. I wouldn't say that.
What is your all-time favorite movie?
You can't break it down to one because of how many genres there are.
Fair enough. What's the movie you never get tired of watching over and over and over again, no matter how many times you see it?
Draft Day.
Okay. All right. Let's move along. NCAA tournament. Let's talk about that. A lot of number one seeds knocked out. A lot of upsets so far.
Definitely.
Has Rodney Terry done enough to earn a multi-year contract extension at Texas?
Without doubt, in my opinion. I can see the argument for getting John Calipari, but why do you want John Calipari, who hasn't made Sweet 16 in years, hasn't done any success in NCAA tournament years, does the least with the most, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to go for a guy like that? It's probably the best option. Instead of just bringing back Rodney Terry, he's been a great coach for you, helping the recruiting process of most of these athletes. So I think Rodney's the guy.
How about Rodney versus Sule Boom
coming up
in the Sweet 16?
I have Texas as my national champion. I don't know if you listened last week, but on my episode, I picked Texas as my national champion, start of the bracket. I'm going to rock out with it. I think it'll be a good game, but I think Rodney's going to know Sule's ins and outs. Sule struggled a little bit in tournament so far. I'll take Rodney in that matchup.
If Texas wins the national championship, Rodney will definitely be sticking around. He probably will be getting a very, very nice contract.
Definitely.
You know, they gave Chris Beard 7 years and $35 million. So
at Ole Miss or at Texas?
At Texas.
Okay.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they give Rodney maybe five and 25 or something like that.
Any news on NMSU? Million.
I am hearing that it is probably Jason Hooten, the former Houston State coach, who will most likely be getting the job.
Okay.
He's in town with his family. No offer has been made, but all of the people I'm talking to are telling me that they are zeroing in on Jason Hooten. It's his job to lose. Let's put it that way.
What do you think about Ed Cooley going to Georgetown? Because that's a very desirable job, and they kind of just went for the – I don't know if he's the best available, and also Ed Cooley going in conference.
In your mind, who's the best available at this point?
I think you can go for anybody. I think you can go for a non-coach. I mean, there's been people who said Georgetown's their dream job. Jay Williams said it. Mm-hmm. And I also don't get it for Ed Cooley. A few years ago, Michigan hired Juwan Howard. They had top two candidates, Shaka Smart, Texas, and Ed Cooley. Ed Cooley said no. They didn't offer the job of Shaka Smart. Ed Cooley said no to Michigan. They offered him the job. He said no. He says yes to Georgetown now.
Okay.
So I thought he was super loyal to Providence, and now he's going over to Georgetown.
What about St. John's hiring Pitino?
Okay, when the contract is up, he's going to be 76 years old. That's a rough issue.
Well, he's like Luke Carnesecca when he was coaching 30 years ago.
If you can bring it to a Final Four, maybe even bring you a national championship, and they're terrible for the next 15 years, who cares? And then maybe you can have Richard Pitino step up after that job.
That's interesting. Maybe let his son take over, who's doing a nice job at New Mexico
Definitely. Right
now. That's pretty good. I like that.
I like the Rick Pitino hiring.
So you did. You thought that was a good move for St. John's. They spent a lot of money on Pitino. He wasn't cheap.
What do you think about Tobin Anderson, Tiona?
That's also an interesting fill-in replacement after Pitino leaves.
But he leaves 1 year after. I mean, Porter Moser stuck around Loyola Chicago for years after their Final Four run.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Shrewsbury to Notre Dame. That is a really good one right there. Mike Shrewsbury, great season at Penn State. Notre Dame lands their guy. And then Mike Bray tried to get the job at South Florida. They said no.
How about the Fairleigh Dickinson upset, the story so far of the tournament? Their head coach lands the gig after that win. That just goes to show you, when you win the tournament, that's Definitely. Really what matters, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, Tobin Anderson called his shot after the first four. He says, the more I watch Purdue, the more I think we can beat them. And I want to say this right here. If Purdue takes Zach Edey out of that game in the second half for 5 minutes, all you need to do, take him out for 5 minutes, they run away with that game. You want to know why? Because every single possession, they were looking to get Zach
Edey. Every single one.
Every single possession.
Yep.
And Fairleigh Dickinson, the shortest squad in college basketball, they were just getting steals when they were feeding the ball. Yes, he gets the occasional and one, but Purdue has better shooters. Purdue has better athletes than Fairleigh Dickinson. No debate about it. If you take Zach Edey out of that game, put somebody else in, you're winning that game because you're just the better all-around team without that dumb game plan of just getting Zach Edey the ball every play.
Meanwhile, Matt Painter, last 2 years, knocked off with huge seeds. I think it was a 1-2, and he's been out in the last two tournaments. And a lot of people now are questioning Painter as a head coach because, despite all the stuff he's done in the Big Ten, hey, you got to win.
He had a great squad last year and did nothing with it.
You're right.
And this year,
you got to win in the tournament.
I agree.
I'll ask you, what's more important?
I mean, their T.J. Clark passed conference. Away from a Final Four in 2019, but still,
what's more important? Dominate your conference and come up short in the tournament, or be a good team, get into the tournament, and go deep, make a run into the Sweet 16.
Make a run to the Sweet 16. You can have a great regular season and then be trash in the NCAA tournament. I want to be good in the NCAA tournament. Michigan last year, horrible season, and then you make the tournament, you make the Sweet 16. I'd rather that, get the hope of March, than just the, we won a few games the regular season, let's build onto it March. It is March now. Let's win some games.
All right, listen. We got to take a break.
Okay.
I'm going to spend the entire break giving you a list of movies to go watch.
Let's do it.
All right. Adrian, you're on the phone the whole time. Lane, he hasn't seen anything. His favorite movie of all time is Draft Day. He has seen no sport. He has seen none of the Rockies. He has seen no sports movies. And for the most part, he told me that the 80s movies are trash. So we have a lot.
We have a lot to
talk about during the break. It is going
to
get
just,
ugly.
Just to come to Turn. Lane's defense here a little bit, he's just 16.
No, he's 15.
15.
He's even
there
younger.
We go. Even younger. Come on. He hasn't seen some of these. Some of these movies he's not even old enough to watch.
But if you're a sports fan, aren't you seeking all the good ones out?
Yeah. I know, but I mean, hey, look, he's got time. He's only 15. He's
all
got
right.
time.
He does have time. He has lots of time now on his hands. That's true. All right. More with Lane as we continue. More around the sports world as we go to Charlie Wine. Let's get a traffic update. Welcome back, everybody, as we continue. Lane Frank with us, always opinionated. Schoolyard Sports, the podcast. Episode number
116.
116. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today for score, or for this week when it drops officially tomorrow?
Drops officially tomorrow. You know, a lot of great stuff doing. NCAA tournament recap. Obviously, talking about WBC. Congratulations, Japan. What a win that is for you right there. I honestly thought USA would win that. Japan obviously clutched it out. They had great pitching. USA, Merrill Kelly starting game one. A lot of good NFL talk in that episode. All around, solid episode.
It sounds great. So you taped it today?
Taped it yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. So you taped it before the WBC?
Double take. So if Japan wins, I can say Japan won.
Oh, then, look at you.
Don't reveal my secret, though.
Look. Well, you just revealed it. There you go. It was very clever. Very clever. All right. I like that. I like where you went with that.
Double take.
Good for you. Alexa Dominguez tweets the show. The Sandlot is her recommendation as her favorite movie. What are you shaking your head for?
Because I don't like The Sandlot. I've seen it. I don't like it.
When did you see it? How long ago?
2019 summer.
So you
I was 11 years old.
11. All right. Were you like awake for the whole movie, or were you kind of out of it?
I was on a bus back from the amusement park.
Then you probably don't even pay attention. You're probably like talking to your buddies. Listen, give that movie another chance.
I don't like it. I've seen it. Can't go for it. It's kind of a movie that you can see that's great when you're young, and then not so great when you're older.
All right. I like that movie. I'm almost 50. All right. It's still
because that came out in your time, not my time.
No, it was already when that movie came out.
Going
I was
out
already
to play
in my,
the song,
I was
going
30.
Out to do this, go out to do that. Oh, the great Bambino, all that.
Yeah.
I think a movie nowadays would be like that'd be unrealistic. There's internet, technology, more fun things to do than it.
The movie took place in the 60s. That's why. So it wasn't like that movie came out in the 90s. It was.
It's a good.
It was from the 60s. All right.
There's more than one Sandlot, right?
There's like two or three, but I mean, really, one showing the original.
Then, yeah.
One was with the original cast, and then they started doing sequels, and other people were in there, and things like that. All right, let me see. Have you ever seen Semi-Pro?
Semi-Pro, yes.
The movie?
Yes.
Right, so you've seen a lot of those. All right, you've seen Talladega Nights.
So you've seen
the Will Ferrell sports movies.
I've seen most sports movies, I'd say. In my opinion, I've seen most sports movies that are good.
Okay. Have you seen?
Rookie of the Year?
Yes. You're telling me that one. You're telling me Rookie of the Year
are you
is good.
You're gonna say you didn't like it?
Yeah.
It are you gonna say you didn't like Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
It's more
special.
Than that. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Did you like Rookie of the Year, Adrian?
Yeah, good movie. I like.
How many bananas did you give Rookie of the Year?
Well, I had watched it before, so I'll give it on the spot. Banana. 7 bananas.
Right.
7
Little Big League. Bananas. Great movie. Well, maybe the best baseball movie ever. Maybe.
You have just lost all credibility. All credit.
Major League, Major League would be number one.
If you're going to put Little Big League better than The Natural?
I've never seen The Natural.
Of course you haven't. Of course, because it came out in 1984. I mean, you know, it's
Little Big League's better.
That's understandable. All right. Let's talk now about the World Baseball Classic.
I just got an alert. 4.5 million viewers.
That's good.
Most watched game ever. WBC game ever.
It was a terrific game, and it was on Fox Sports 1. Between the U.S. and Japan.
I thought it was on Fox.
I saw it on Fox Sports. Was it actually on Fox?
It's probably on both.
I only saw it on Fox Sports 1. I didn't know that game was on Fox. No, it was only on Fox.
This was only on Fox.
On Fox Sports 1.
USA Venezuela on Fox.
Well, not last night, because last night was Tuesday night. You can't go into the primetime lineup, which is usually why a lot of these cable networks are getting the game. Your takeaways, though, of Shohei Ohtani and the next chapter in his greatness.
Just legacy. I tweeted right before that inning. I said, Shohei Ohtani's legacy is on the line right here. If he gives up the home run and they lose WBC, he loses some credibility. If he wins WBC for them and closes out, he's a legend.
How about striking out Mike Trout the way he did? Blew a couple of 100-mile-an-hour fastballs past him, and then hit that ridiculous slider that was about as filthy as it gets.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
95 was the slider.
Mm-hmm.
102 pitch. He's trying to pitch 108. I saw that as one of his goals he wrote when he was 17. Pitch the fastest pitch ever.
108 miles an hour?
108 miles an hour he wants to do.
First off, his arm already fell off once, and he had Tommy John surgery. You don't want to see his arm fall off a second time.
Is he a better hitter or pitcher? I say hitter. But he's gang. Way better as a pitcher. He can win Cy Young this year.
I mean, that pitching is ridiculous.
Is the hitting.
Yeah, it is.
The hitting's inconsistent. That's why USA failed in the end.
I was listening to some of the older baseball purists try to say that he's not Babe Ruth, and I'm thinking to myself, well, first off, when Babe Ruth started as a pitcher, it was in the teens, and in those days, you didn't have to throw 100 miles an hour. You could probably throw in the 80s and be just as filthy as they are now, and then he never pitched and hit at the same time. He transitioned from pitching for the Red Sox to hitting for the Yankees.
Then, so it's different.
No, they had no DHing back in. No, the DH started in 73. So
I love Ohtani. Best player, most exciting player in baseball right now, most followed player of all time in MLB.
Yeah, he's been...
2 million followers he gained over the WBC.
Is he really?
All Lars Nootbaar gained 500,000.
Well, Lars Nootbaar went to Japan.
Doesn't even know Japanese. But
no, I mean, his mom is from Japan.
But, I mean, it's awesome that the WBC allows for things like this when, yes, say, the Olympics doesn't. WBC is if you could gain citizenship in that country. Say Alex Dickerson. He's not Jewish, but his wife is. He was able to play for Team Israel.
That's true. How surprised are you that teams like the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico that are so loaded in Venezuela?
The group stages were so messed up. If you can have Italy making out of a group stage and not the Dominican Republic, you've got an issue.
But at the same time, the Dominican Republic was a very talented roster.
But they got injured.
Just couldn't get it done.
They had some injuries before WBC, and everyone's like, oh, they'll still be fine. You know, you lose Vlad Guerrero, you lose Tatis, and then it kind of falls apart.
I don't think Tatis was ever allowed in the WBC.
I'm saying, say, a year ago, he would have been on that roster.
Well, by the way, was Tatis not allowed because of the suspension, or
both,
did they just tell
him
no? Okay.
So, because WBC still deals with the MLB, so yeah, I think you're part of that. But I'm saying, like, a year ago right now, Tatis would have been on that roster.
Yeah. U.S. needs better pitching for next time they play in three
years. You can't have Merrill Kelly starting.
No, you can't. And by the way, Laup, and then you look at and Kyle Freeman.
It's a week before the season starts. You don't want to blow out your arm.
Well, I get it, but you know that wasn't. Don't tell that to you, Darvish and Shohei Ohtani.
More proud for their country.
That's true, too. And by the way, did you notice the
Darvish
pride that everybody had in their countries when they were playing this and how important this was for everybody?
It was a really great WBC. Yeah. I just don't think WBC is a great alternative. I think if you can just do it, the Olympics, stop the season for 2 weeks. Hockey does it. Do the Olympics. That's amazing. I think that should be it right there. I've talked about it before on my show. Baseball needs to be in the Olympics. I know it was, but
it didn't go. It didn't go
like
it was.
It was just minor league players and free agents.
Well,
now it needs
problem.
To be MLB players. I want to see Mike Trout mashing homers against Japan. Olympics.
I think the problem with the Olympics.
Not WBC, that's a week before the season.
The thing is this, okay? Then you're playing in the Olympic Village, you're playing in the Olympic City, whereas here you got Miami, you have Phoenix, you're playing all over the world, you got games everywhere. I mean, they're giving a lot of these countries an opportunity to host games, which they wouldn't do if it was the Olympics.
That's a good point right there, but I still think it's a great option. I mean, USA played every single game in the United States. Japan played every game. Japan, their qualifiers, and then they make quarterfinals, but interesting.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. And we got 30 more minutes with Lane as we continue here on Sports Talk. But first, right back to Adrian and this Sports Center update. Thanks, Schoolyard Sports. Episode 116. The podcast dropped, and it will be official tomorrow. You'll get the audio first, then the video. And every week, Schoolyard Sports with Lane Frank. And by the way, you're back in town. How was spring break?
Great. Host the most. Took a break after. Great episode, March Madness episode. That's what I like to say, host of the most. But a great March Madness episode, just doing the bracket, filling out everything. Had a massive bracket, had a massive picture of my champion, Texas. That was awesome right there. But yeah, good break. How about you?
All right. I had a nice break. Went to spring training. Saw the Padres and Giants and had a good time in Padres camp in Peoria.
It's going to San Diego next month, but no Padres games.
Oof. All right.
Go every year around that time. There's always a game this year now.
Hey, there's talk that we might be seeing Tatis in El Paso for the rehab before he becomes eligible.
In the summer?
Come off the, no, and like he'll be like next month.
Oh,
before he is eligible
that's
to come
allowed?
Off the suspension the end of April, and he'll have the opportunity to get himself ready to be activated.
They wouldn't put him in the majors right away?
No. He would have to have a little, you know, some games. So he wants to see some action. So
he's playing spring training.
Never been here. That would be fun. Looking
it would
forward
be.
To that. All right, let's talk about the Sweet 16.
We'd
ready?
Have to get access to that.
You need to figure that one
You'd
out.
Have to get that interview. That'd be amazing for Sports Talk.
Thank you. I'm already in the process of trying to work on that, but thank you for that. Midwest region, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Houston, Miami. That's going to be Miami. Miami's not going to Houston out.
Straight out the gate, Miami.
What has impressed you so much about Miami? They handled Drake, and then they blew out Indiana.
I picked Drake to beat Miami. I said if Miami gets past Drake, though, they're making the lead eight because of how good shooters they have on that team. Jordan Miller, Charlie Moore, and Isaiah Wong. I said if you can get past Indiana with that very small lineup that you have, you can beat Trace Jackson Davis with that. You can beat Houston. You can beat maybe anybody in the country. I still haven't making the lead eight, though, and losing the lead eight. But Houston plays like an NBA team. If you get them in a late-game situation, you're not winning that game. Houston's winning that.
So, in your mind, Miami's still going to win and beat Houston?
I think so. All I think right. Miami just gets too big of a lead. They win that game.
Got it. Xavier and Dave and Texas. You picked Texas to win the whole thing, so you obviously like the Rodney Terrys to beat Sule Boom this week.
Let's go Texas. Late-game push, 70-61.
Oh, okay. All right. So you've got Texas and Miami in the Elite Eight.
Texas.
Texas to go to the Final Four.
Texas to win the championship.
All right. Well, we're going to do this next week before the Final Four so we can revisit this. All right. We'll do that. Let's go from the Midwest over to the West bracket now. Here we go with the West. All right. Started off with really a fun matchup. 8-seed Arkansas against 4-seed UConn.
Okay, so I had UConn making the Elite Eight anyways. I had them beating Kansas. I really loved Tristan Newton, went to Burgess. Mm-hmm. Adama Sanogo, great player, really matured as a center. Donovan Clinigan, great freshman center. Jordan Hawkins, best shooter in the country, you could say. Yeah, UConn runs away with this one. I like Arkansas. I compare him to Michigan last year. Really talented squad. Had success in the past with veterans, and then they bring in some 5-stars, and they struggle. They still do well in tournament. That's kind of what happened with Arkansas. Did well in tournament. I had them tripping up against UConn.
How about Eric Musselman? How do you like him as a head coach?
Ooh, let's see who freaks out first. Danny Hurley or Eric Musselman? These are two of the most fired-up head coaches in college basketball. But
good point.
I love Eric Musselman. Great coach.
The difference is Danny Hurley would keep his shirt on.
I don't know.
You think it might be
the
shirt might
come
off?
The Big East tournament. He would call a timeout just to hype up the crowd. He wouldn't do anything in the timeout. He'd just run to the crowd.
Really?
Run to the crowd.
All right. Well, that'll make it a fun matchup. Where are they playing? Do you know where this one's going to be?
I know the regional is in Des Moines.
Right?
So
yeah, it's in the West
different.
Region. This will be actually
Las Vegas?
Yes, it is, actually. It's a T-Mobile Arena in Vegas.
Okay.
So, all right. And the other game in the Elite Eight in the Western region, Gonzaga and UCLA.
Okay, this is going to be a fire one. I had UNC Asheville over UCLA. That was my biggest upset ever. Didn't happen. UCLA blew the doors off them.
They did. Do you feel like, now listen, upsets are tough to pick. Obviously, this one was a tank, but why did you like Asheville beating UCLA?
I just thought Drew Pember, gets the line more than anybody in the country. They had a really good squad. UCLA really down a lot of guys, Jalen Clark and Adama Bono in that game. So I liked UNC Asheville. Didn't happen. I also liked Northwestern over them. That didn't happen, too.
So who wins?
Gonzaga
wins
that one.
Gonzaga beats UCLA.
Gonzaga might be the most deep team in the country, the deepest team in the country. So much depth in the squad. Point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. Drew Timmy can play the whole game at center. I love the squad of Gonzaga. I have them making the Final Four.
Oh, so Gonzaga beats UConn
Gonzaga
in the Elite
Eight.
Gonzaga
beats UConn Elite Eight in a close game.
All right, so Gonzaga will
Gonzaga
play...
Gonzaga kind of lets you play around with them for a little bit, and then they beat you up at the end.
So Gonzaga plays Texas, and Texas beats Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's go to the East. You ready? Let's start with the South, actually.
Really,
let's start with the South. Number one, Alabama against number 5, San Diego State.
I like Alabama. I think San Diego State is a great defense. Could give Alabama some fits, but Alabama pulls away.
I don't know. The way San Diego State beat up on Furman, that was impressive.
That was
because
impressive.
Furman looked great in the first game against Virginia, and they were just a non-factor in the
SMU. I wouldn't say great. I'd say great in the last 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, but when you knock off a 4-seed, that's a pretty good win. It really is. Although Alabama hasn't really been tested yet the way we thought they would be,
Alabama just pulls away.
All right. Creighton and Princeton. That's the game, the Cinderella matchup coming up Friday at 7 o'clock.
Creighton was a Final Four team for me preseason. I didn't pick them to make the Final Four this time. I'm picking them to lose in round 32 to Baylor. I like Creighton this one, though. Ryan Kalkbrenner, Baylor Shireman, Ryan Nemhard, Alexander. It's just a great squad. I like Baylor.
Did you expect Princeton to look as good against Missouri as they did?
No, I didn't. I didn't think the shooting could last. But now you have a weaker rest. That shooting kind of goes away in this one.
So if you pick Creighton over Princeton and you've got Alabama over San Diego State, who wins between Creighton and Alabama?
I want to pull a trigger. I think I'm going to go with Creighton. Creighton was a Final Four pick for me preseason. I think Alabama, Brandon Miller, no points in the first round. And they also had some bad bench play against Maryland. I think if you can stop that, settle that down, Creighton, 6-seed, makes it to the Final Four.
Big East basketball is something else, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Let's go
They're
now
in the Big
to
Ten
the
basketball.
East. They are.
Big Ten basketball is cannibalism, and then they do nothing in the tournament.
Meanwhile, in the East, Florida Atlantic is still alive.
I had them in the Sweet 16 anyways. I had them beating Purdue.
Oh, you did?
I did.
All
That's
right.
a big call by me.
Now, we have them beating Tennessee, who just knocked off Duke.
I had 25 out of 32 in my first round. I did pick both these teams to win their first round game. I like Tennessee. Really talented squad. Whole year seemed like a top 2 team, top 5 team. Beat Alabama. Almost beat Arizona. Crushed Texas. Now they don't have Zakai Ziegler. Still a good squad, though. I like Tennessee.
You went 25 out of 32?
25 out of 32, and I had a horrible round of 32 after that.
I
could have had a great bracket.
That's a great start, though.
Score Sports Bracket Pool right now, one of the biggest groups on ESPN. I think it's top 50.
Good for you. Congratulations.
450-plus members.
That a way. Very nice. All right, so you've got Tennessee beating FAU. Will it be close?
I don't know if it's going to be close. Because FAU kind of don't really have that one main star player. Yes, they have Michael Forrest. Yes, they have Golden. But they kind of play with each other together. Same with Tennessee. I think Tennessee's more consistent. They win this game.
All right. What about the other game, Kansas State and Michigan State? That's going to be a fun one.
That is going to be a fun one. I like Keontae Johnson. I like Marquise Dowell in this one. I give me Kansas State.
By the way, what talk about the coaching job at K-State we've seen in year
Jerome
one.
Jerome Tang, amazing coach.
By the way, I mean, you've been at Baylor all these years, yep. Never had the opportunity, was a finalist at UTEP a few years ago the job, but Tang has really, you know, if you would have said before the start of the season that K-State, not Kansas, would be the team to beat so far deep into the NCAA tournament, would you have believed it?
I mean, if you're a Division I coach, you can coach, in my opinion. You can coach anywhere in the country. It just matters if you go to a small program after winning a national championship as an assistant, or if you go to a Power 5 program after winning a national championship. Jerome Tang went to UTEP. He would not have had this much success because he wouldn't have been able to get Keontae Johnson. He wouldn't have been able to get Marquise Noel. Now Kansas State gets to have all these amazing players with him because it's a Power 5 school. That's why they're doing so well, and I think they win this one.
I've said that to so many people who have argued about Tang, and they said, boy, I wish Tang was at UTEP. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute now. First off, the NIL wouldn't have been in place yet because it still wasn't in place last season, and he would have had to do the best he could given what the resources he had to work with. No, he's not.
Maybe get Marcus Noel because he was kind of a mid-major transfer, but...
But even still, I mean, you realize that how much is it of it is great players, great system, great resources versus great coach?
I don't know. I mean, you could compare it to the Rodney Terry situation in Texas. He had great players at UTEP, but not the great resources. Now he has great players at Texas and great resources.
He does. All right. So you've got K-State and Tennessee in the Elite Eight. Who wins that one in the Final Four, K-State and Tennessee?
That's going to be a good game. I think Kansas State might win that one. It's going to be an interesting game. I think that's who advances to the Final Four. Let me just call it. I'll go with Tennessee. Keontae Johnson, his shooting runs down a little bit. Same with Marquise Noel. Tennessee's just more well-rounded, in my opinion.
Tennessee and Alabama in the Final Four.
I had Creighton.
I'm sorry, Tennessee and Creighton in the Final Four.
These are two of the most well-rounded teams in college basketball. Depth at every single position, talent at every single position. Creighton had some bad stretches this year. Tennessee had one bad stretch. I'm going to take Tennessee in this one.
Oh, so we'll have a little rematch between Tennessee and Texas in the championship game.
We will. That'll be a fun game.
I like that. All right.
Big 12 SEC Challenge rematch.
Stick around. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up with you. Definitely. Lane Frank, Schoolyard Sports. We'll put a wrap on it next. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Final countdown here on Sports Talk. Adrian, you've been listening to this hour-long discussion. You tell me, what do you have for what do you have for Lane Frank today?
Lane, there are a lot of great NFL free agents out there still. Who are some of the names that you're keeping an eye on that are not named Lamar Jackson?
Odell Beckham Jr. That's the main one right now. He wants a big contract, $15, $20 million. He's not going to get that, but I'm interested to see where he goes.
Do you think he goes? If you had a guess right now, where is he going?
I wouldn't say New York Jets because the Jets already have a bunch of receivers. They signed Mecole Hardman today. They have Garrett Wilson. They're going after a few other guys. They traded Elijah Moore today, but you can't have four wide receivers, in my opinion. They're all stars. They all want to play. That would happen if they got Odell Beckham Jr. So I don't know where he goes.
Well, you got to give a loaded offense, right, for number 12 once they get him.
Exactly.
By the way, do you think
they get Lamar? I put that on my show. I said, if this whole thing falls through because—
How is it going to fall through?
Here's the main issue right now. Why the deal hasn't happened. The Packers want so many first-round picks. If you trade him to the rate, if you get Lamar Jackson, hypothetically, you get Lamar Jackson, you can give them Zach Wilson instead of giving them a first-round pick. You give them maybe a second-round pick, Zach Wilson, a few other things, and a big contract for Lamar, you're good. And then Ravens might like that. Zach Wilson with Jeff Monken? Who says no?
Have you watched Zach Wilson play in the last 2 years?
Have you seen Todd Monken, what he did with Stetson Bennett?
Uh-huh. I know, but do you realize—
If he can do that with Stetson Bennett, he can do that with Zach Wilson.
If I had a choice of a number one pick— Or Zach Wilson, I'm taking the number one pick.
Who says they're getting the number one pick?
Well, I mean, it's two number ones if you're Baltimore just to try and get Lamar Jackson.
Okay, maybe you give them one number one or two. You give him Zach Wilson, and you give him a third round pick. And you give Lamar his big offer.
Well, by the way, would you rather do that, or would you rather just sign Grandpa Aaron for a couple years?
I'd rather have Lamar. I think Jets would rather have Lamar. Well, Aaron Rodgers shop
right now. No, I mean, listen, here's the thing. Rodgers, this team is built to win right now. Right now. And Aaron Rodgers probably has 2-3 years left, and that's
Lamar
it.
Lamar is also built to win now. Lamar is built to win now more than Aaron Rodgers is.
That's true.
More than Aaron Rodgers.
That's true, because he can run. He can do a little better.
He can do everything. He's the most athletic player in the NFL.
Is the biggest mistake by Lamar Jackson representing himself and not hiring an agent?
He's always been like this, Lamar. I don't think so. He has mom at one point as his agent. Now he's self-represented. Let me Tunsil self-represent. He has the largest contract by an offensive lineman ever. So,
all right. Adrian, throw one more at Lane. One more question.
DeAndre Hopkins, a possible landing spot for him. Seeing Panthers being floated out there.
What about
also
the Raiders?
Seeing the Chargers.
What about the Raiders? I just thought of that right there. You get him with Josh McDaniels. You just got rid of Darren Waller. What if you do that Devonta Adams, DeAndre Hopkins team up?
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
All right. How about Chargers?
Chargers, that's a good one right there. Giants, even though they have Darren Waller, that could be a great one.
Didn't the Giants just re-sign one of their receivers?
Slayton.
Yeah.
And Shepard.
Give him 2 years. So
I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins.
What you about like Zeke?
Oh, Zeke.
Where's Zeke going?
XFL.
XFL?
Not XFL, but
he could be Baker Mayfield's running back.
I think he's ending up to be a little bit. Yeah, that's a good one right there. Tampa Bay, that's a good one for him right there. I think what happens with Zeke is kind of a Le'Veon Bell situation. You know, he's the best running back in the NFL, and he takes a year off, and then he ends up on the Jets and is horrible.
Well, remember, Le'Veon Bell took a year off because of the contract issue.
Still, but.
So, I mean, I think Zeke wants to play as long as he gets paid. So we'll just have to see where he gets paid. That'll be the question. All right. Do the Cowboys trade up and get Bijan Robinson in the draft?
That's what I threw out of my episode today. Get Bijan Robinson. Okay, Tony Pollard's good. Ronald Jones is okay. Why not get the next Ezekiel Elliott? You can get the prime Ezekiel Elliott. Bijan Robinson's the best running back I've ever seen since Saquon Barkley.
Okay. What's going on in the tennis world before we wrap things up? Give me some scoop.
Miami Open going on right now. Indian Wells just finished up. We saw Carlos Alcaraz grab the number one overall ranking. Novak Djokovic, probably number one player in the world after the Australian Open. And then he loses that ranking because he's not allowed to come to the United States unvaccinated. So he can't play the Miami Open or the Indian Wells Open. So Carlos Alcaraz, number one, Spaniard, number one.
Is Carlos Alcaraz the real deal? Is he?
He's the real deal. Is he a superstar? He's 20 years old now?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So he has the
real
thing.
Deal. Best all fitness right. on tour, then gets every single shot back. He's amazing.
Schoolyard Sports, episode 116, drops tomorrow.
Drops tomorrow.
Officially. You got a lot to cover on that show. You've done it again. You've come in here. You've blown in like a tornado. You threw a ton of stuff out there. What else? We have like 30 seconds. Anything else you want to mention?
Follow Schoolyard Sports on Instagram for sports news updates. Follow Schoolyard Sports on Twitter, all at Schoolyard Sports. And then watch on all podcast platforms. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
You're welcome. You're going to have to pay a lot of hats, aren't you? You're going to owe a lot of caps.
Yeah, that was a bad tweet. I put it. Fairlad Dickinson beats Purdue for the game. Everyone who likes his tweet gets a free hat.
How many likes did you get?
37. So not that many. We're good.
If it was 337, it'd be tough.
I would have just gone whoever liked it during the game.
Talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks for coming.
Talk to you. Thanks for coming.
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.